Welcome into this October 17th edition of Monday Scramble. No Monday blues here because the PGA Tour season for 2016-2017 is already here, right, guys?
Like it never left.
No. Yeah,
I'm not sure that's necessarily the Monday blues for us, but go on.
Oh, come on. All right. Well, Will Gray, Ryan Lavner, I'm Chantal McCabe. And the first one is already wrapped up in Napa, California. Your initial reactions?
It was a sloppy, sleepy season opener. That was won by Brendan Steele. Congrats to Brendan Steele, second PGA Tour title, first in 5 years. But this was not exactly the Monday that we were anticipating. We thought Tiger was going to be here. We thought we were going to have a whole lot of things to dissect, from his health to his swing to what the future holds for him. Just didn't pan out.
Instead, we get Brendan Steele.
The
worthy and deserving winner of an excellent trophy. They upgraded the trophy this year. It's now a wine barrel sort of thing. I don't know if there was like a spigot there on the side where you can kind of tap into a cab or something, but definitely creative team markers and trophies this week. But as Lav said, by the time we get to Christmas or February or whatever, this will not be a remembered week.
You know it's a boring tournament when we're talking about the tee markers and the trophies.
That's all I got.
That's all
we
got.
Come on. Well, you said that you expected to talk about Tiger Woods, but Johnny Miller was not expecting to talk about Tiger Woods on this Monday. But let's welcome in Rex Hoggard. Rex, thanks for joining us. And we're going to talk a little Phil Mickelson if we want to talk about some excitement. Well, what do you think about his play finishing T8th?
I think I'm going to change the mood of this entire conversation because I
had
buzz out in Napa. Yeah, and I thought it was a pretty cool tournament. I did like the tee markers. I liked, and that's called a cast, by the way, Lav.
Thank you.
It's a wine cast, just in case you're curious. And I was very impressed with Phil. And look, he didn't win. He finishes up the year without a win for just the fifth time in his career as a professional. But talking with him last week, it's amazing how that 1 week at Hazeltine completely changed the outlook of his entire season. I mean, you wouldn't think a player of his level would look back at a season like he just had, which was a good season. It was an okay season. But for a player of that caliber, you don't get a win. You don't think it's a very successful year. But, I mean, he was absolutely giddy talking about 2016. And it was really based almost entirely on that Ryder Cup victory. And a little bit to a certain extent, Royal Troon and in that heated exchange he had with Henrik Stenson. But, I mean, what happened at the Ryder Cup absolutely made his season.
Well, Rex, certainly I would say that Phil was a little invested in the Ryder Cup outcome, for better or worse. Whatever, he was all in from the moment they left Glen Eagles, and so I think that plays a big role in how important he made that tournament for him and for his season. But you know, I was writing last night and going back, looking at just his stat line over the last year or two, it's amazing to see that at age 46, he made substantial and tangible gains in putting, in approach shots, in pretty much everything except the driver, which he said this week in Napa he was trying to work on. But, you know, coming into this year with so many more questions than answers, were you surprised to see Mickelson make those type of gains?
A little surprised. Let's face it. You get to a point in your career and maybe you lose focus a little bit. Certainly your energy levels drop down. But, I mean, the work that he's done with swing coach Andrew Getson, I think the work that he's done in the gym, everything that he's done over the last 2 years has been geared towards the idea that he really feels like he can be competitive well into his late 40s, maybe even his early 50s. I mean, a sign of that was asked him point blank in 2018, in 2 years when we go to France, is he going to go as a player or as a captain / vice captain? And he didn't mix any words. He's going as a player. I thought it was one of his better quotes of the year. And he said, look, for the last 22 years, no one has been able to kick me out of the top 10 in the American rankings on that Ryder Cup points list. He doesn't know why it would happen over the next 2 years. So, I mean, as surprising as it might seem to us right now, sitting around talking about it when Phil is 48 and he's going to qualify for yet another U.S. Ryder Cup team, I think in his mind it's a very real likelihood.
But, Rex, it is still clear that Phil needs to make some pretty massive improvements in terms of his driving. He was outside the top 30 in both strokes gained off the tee and in driving accuracy. He's just not putting the ball in play well enough. That was really his undoing at Silverado. It's a tree-lined golf course. They're playing preferred lies the last couple of rounds. You need to put the ball in the short grass, and he was unable to do that. How confident are you that, yes, you mentioned Phil hasn't won for the third consecutive season, that he's actually trending in the right direction in that department, can get a W soon?
I don't know that he is, and I don't know that it matters. I mean, let's face it. He has never been a straight driver of the golf ball.
This is worse than it's ever been.
Well, no, it was worse. It was worse 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, we can sit here and go back. I mean, let's face it. There have been times in his career. Let's go back to Wingfoot and U.S. Open. I mean, I think he only hit one, two fairways in that final round on Sunday. And
should've
the golf
three.
Gods weren't going to let him win that. Three. So he's never been accused of being a straight driver of the golf ball. Can he make incremental improvements and start putting himself into a little bit less worse position, if that's the way you can put it, and giving that short game and that iron play and that putting an opportunity to shine? Yes, of course he can. He talked about biomechanics and, again, working with Andrew Getson and trying to figure this out. But he's never going to be Henrik Stenson. He's never going to be the guy that goes out and hits every fairway. That's just not in his MO. But he can certainly make improvements and next year get that win, put himself back in contention at Augusta. These are the things that matter to him.
Rex, with the improvements that we have seen from Phil Mickelson, he hasn't won in 72 consecutive worldwide starts. Obviously, his last win was in 2013. Do you see the next time he tees up an opportunity for him to win at all this season?
I do, because you look at where he's going to play. I think his next start is probably either going to be Torrey Pines, and then after that, my guess is Career Builder, if I'm looking at the schedule correctly. And let's face it, you don't have to be particularly straight at the Career Builder. It's going to be a tournament that he's going to be involved with. It's something that's important to him. And I think if you look at the places where he has played throughout his career, I can definitely see him getting on the board early. I mean, specifically, you start looking at next year's majors when they go to Quail Hollow for the PGA. He has an excellent record there. So I think the entire schedule sets up pretty well for him.
Yeah, it's a good point about the PGA. He does have a good record in Charlotte. All right, Rex, Brandel and Noda got into a conversation about Phil over the weekend. They mentioned that Phil's goal is to reach 50 PGA Tour titles. He currently has 42, and they were both in agreement that Phil is going to get to 50, which I just thought was unbelievably misguided.
Why? He says he has more energy than ever.
Okay,
and energy has led to zero wins in the next 3 years.
He has not won in more than 3 years. Tiger Woods has won more recently than Phil Mickelson. Rex, convince me that Phil is going to get to the big 5-0.
I can't. I don't think he will. I mean, that is a heck of a career ahead.
I don't even think he's going to get close.
No.
I mean, he might get close when you consider Davis Love at 51 won last year at the Wyndham Championship. And if Phil starts embracing tournaments like this, I think that's where the question comes in, right? Where in recent years, Phil has talked specifically about losing focus on the golf course. And it's not until he shows up at the majors and then, of course, the Ryder Cup, where he talks about really focusing in and really doing his best work. If he can find a way to channel that into these starts, like at the Career Builder, and if he plays the Wyndham and some of these other starts, he certainly has an opportunity. But, man, I mean, that's a lot to win in your late 40s. I don't see him getting 50.
And you also remember, in 2017, I think that's going to be a good gut check time for him. This year he was very motivated to qualify for that Ryder Cup team. What is dangling out in front of him in 2017? I think that kind of remains to be seen.
Trip to Liberty National.
President's Cup.
Lav. Yeah. New Jersey in October. That's book it.
Phil does not have the pressure on him at Liberty National that he had at Hazeltine. I think he needs to find a new little carrot.
Okay, let's say
in front of him.
You mentioned his driving. Let's say his driving dramatically improves.
Which it won't. But he can get slightly better.
Okay, yeah. So let's say it increases by 10%. Is that a possibility for him to get to 50? It's still a very tall task.
I see no scenario where
I mean, we're all in agreement here.
You're talking about stringing together multiple seasons with multiple wins. And he's going to be 47 in June. I mean, I don't know where they're picking that number out of the hat. I think that 45 or 46, if he gets three or four more wins, I think that's good. I'm in agreement with Rex. I totally expect Phil to win after age 50, maybe one or two times.
Yes.
I think he could win at the Masters after age 50. But, I mean, you're talking about getting
eight more times?
Yeah, you're talking about he's probably got to get at least five wins before he turns 50 for me to even think that that's a reasonable number. And I don't see him getting five wins over the next three or four years.
There are some great players on the PGA Tour who don't even have eight career victories. I mean, how many does Spieth have at this point? He can't be.
He's got a little more than that.
He's eight, nine, ten,
close,
something like that.
Yes.
But I think the biggest thing for Phil is that he's losing distance. He's hemorrhaging distance off the tee. He lost 5 yards off the tee from 2015 to 2016. That's kind of where he's getting in trouble with the driving. He's trying to find new and interesting ways to gain distance. He's only going to get shorter as he gets older. That's where he's going to need to try and be careful here.
I mean, everyone touts long swing, long career, and that's certainly been the case with Phil. But at some point, Father Time, undefeated. That I don't, whether it's going to hit him at 47 or 49 or 52. We saw Peyton Manning dissolve like a saltine cracker over the last you know, year or so, and it happens to everyone, and it's going to happen to Phil eventually.
Long swing, long career, long swing, errant miss.
Well, we can combine Jordan Spieth with 8 career wins and Phil Mickelson 50. There. Boom. All right, we're done with that conversation.
They're a great best ball at Liberty National.
All right, final thoughts, Rex. What do you see coming for the future of this season with a few more fall events? What do we look forward to next?
It will be interesting because you would have thought that everyone would have shut it down because it was such a long season. But you start looking at the schedule, and some players will start playing in the fall. But the one thing, it happened in the previous fall, and I can see it happening again, where you end up with a lot of rookies that suddenly really make a name for themselves. Last year it was Rio and Smiley Kaufman. I will be interested to see who steps up and does that this time around.
Any picks, Rex? Any picks of who's going to do that? For me, it's got to be Jon Rahm.
Jon Rahm was very impressive last week, and he also bought one for the entire press center after he made a hole-in-one on Thursday, so I'm a big fan of him already. But there's a couple of guys. I mean, I kind of went over this last week, and it's really a very deep rookie class when you start considering, and even if you don't count the technical rookies. I mean, obviously Andrew Booth Johnson is not considered a technical rookie, but he will be playing his first season on the PGA Tour. So, I mean, there are some players out there. I think Ollie Snydegans is another player that really stands out.
Rex, outside of the free wine from Jon Rahm, did any blend stick out for you during your week in Napa?
I am not a connoisseur like Lavner is, but he I think Silver Rock is the one he sent me to.
And Silver Oak.
Silver Rock is a terrific golf course.
Refine your palate a little more.
Whisper Rock.
Yeah, if they serve Silver Oak at Whisper Rock, we have the Rex Hoggard blend.
I don't have the wine palate that Lavner does. I apologize.
You also don't have the beer palate, but that's another story.
All right, Rex, we'll let you get back to your wine tasting. We'll talk to you next time.
See you, Rexy.
See you, guys.
All right, so there you have your fall picks. What do you all think about the rest of events this calendar year, I should say?
Yeah, I'm looking for something. Give me something. You know, last year you had Smiley shoot a 61 in Vegas to win. You had Justin Thomas breakthrough. I think that was kind of the highlight for me of last year's fall, where you have a player that could have won and maybe should have won the year before and finally gets a stamp. And you could see that with a guy like Patton Kizzire, who spit the bit, frankly, on Sunday in Napa. But, you know, there's got to be something to tune in. The next 2 weeks, they're in Asia. It's going to be a little tough with the time difference, trying to catch up on everything. But it's amazing that the way that the tour has scheduled everything now, that there is a huge emphasis on this fall portion as it relates to how people do in the playoffs and getting the tour championship. High correlation between guys like Brendan Steele now, who bank a win 10 months or 11 months before the Tour Championship, then he's got a huge advantage of making it to East Lake. That unlocks the door for everything the following season.
That's how they want it to work.
I'm not sure it should work like that.
Right. They're adding incentive here to get guys to go play, to get people to tune in. I don't know that either of them are really, frankly, panning out as much as they would have wanted. I think that this past week was basically a worst-case scenario for the tour, when you had the high and the potential of having Tiger Woods teeing it up, and then you have not only a Tigerless field, but you have a rain delay tournament. You've got soggy fairways. You're butting up against a Cubs-Dodgers NLCS Sunday night. You've got Sunday Night Football on, and we're watching Patton Kizzire take a casual water drop on the 18th hole trying to catch Brendan Steele. That's not going to draw the eyeballs and get the attention that I think that the tour would have liked.
And Phil got absolutely blasted for this when he said it a couple years ago. But when the PGA of America took away the Ryder Cup points for the fall section, Phil was quoted as saying that the fall is giving a head start to the bottom third of the PGA Tour. And everyone was aghast at that comment. Oh, my God, you're calling out kind of the tour's middle class. But
it's true. Yeah, he's totally right.
If you look at that field at the Safeway Open, it is a bunch of Web.com graduates. It's a bunch of journeymen like Brendan Steele who are just trying to get a head start. They've been playing this long season. They're trying to get a little bit of a head start before you head into the holiday break. You can't blame them for playing that. You can't blame the PGA Tour. It's not like they're going to just eliminate these tournaments and turn down the sponsors and millions of dollars. That's not going to happen. But the product does suffer, and I think you're going to see that over the next couple weeks.
We look at the names that were there versus the names that weren't there consecutively every single year in this fall season. What would be, if you're totally putting sponsorship aside, what would be the ideal time that you'd have the wraparound season begin?
I would end the wrap part of the wraparound season.
Okay.
Like, we need to just stop doing this. You're seeing Jason Day, Justin Rose, top flight stars now having to take time off because they're injured, because they don't have enough time to heal their bodies. We've seen guys in the middle of the season taking weeks off at a time, skipping events that they normally would play because they know the gauntlet that lies ahead the next 5, 6, 7 months. Now, granted, 2016 was a little more crowded and crazy of a schedule than usual, but you don't need to be playing so much golf at this part of the year. I think that an actual offseason would do a lot of good.
If in an absolutely perfect world, the PGA Tour season would end on Labor Day.
Yes.
It would end there. It's before football. You're not dividing any of your viewership. You end it there. And you still have to remember that Europe's big stars, Rory, usually Justin Rose, if he wasn't injured,
Stenson.
Henrik Stenson, all of these players, Danny Willett, they still have that European
final
race to Dubai, yes. Final series, that 3 or 4 event series that they have coming up. So that takes up their November. So those guys are still playing a lot of golf over the year. But give these PGA Tour guys, if they want to go play in Europe, that would potentially be a carrot that they can dangle. For PGA Tour, it needs to end on Labor Day. Give these guys a chance to not only refresh, but give fans a chance to take a breather and actually miss the sport.
I mean, I totally understand the tour from the tour's perspective. If there's a sponsor that's going to sign the
you're
check,
you're never going to turn it down.
Set up the
ever.
Field. The guys are going to come play. When you're putting a Masters invitation on the line, you're putting a 2-year exemption on the line, they're going to show up and they're going to play it out. But it does, I think, tend to water down the product in these 6 or 7 weeks that when you get to February, you're not even going to remember what had happened, although it will be the springboard for guys like Brendan Steele. Last year we saw Graham McDowell win in Mexico, then finish third at Sea Island, and that really jump-started entire season. Russell Knox as well getting the win in China. So if you play well, it's a huge advantage going forward through the rest of the season. But overall, I don't know that it's doing the product a lot of good.
It's a running joke now for the players. Oh, what'd you do during your 11-day offseason? It's basically just a joke. They know they're there because they need to get a head start. If you're a Rory or you're a Spieth or you're a Jason Day or a Dustin Johnson, you don't have to play these events at all.
Jim
you know
Furyk,
it because you can make up ground.
Jim Furyk showed up at Quail Hollow in May and should have made it to the
playoffs.
BMW. Yeah, he made it in the Deutsche Bank. So, yeah.
Definitely plenty of reasons to argue that case. No shortage of that. But as we had talked about before we even started the podcast here, it's almost like a training season for the Web.com Tour graduates. So over the last 4 days at Safeway, who do you think was able to capitalize on just getting that jump start?
Well, I think, as you pointed out, John Rahm is definitely the guy to watch. I think this year it's Rahm and DeChambeau. Neither of them are eligible for the Rookie of the Year award because they've made too many starts beforehand, but I think that those are the two guys that you're looking to make the jump, that they went kind of unconventional ways to get their PGA Tour card. Rahm got enough points last season. DeChambeau had to go through the Web.com Tour Finals where he won. I think that those are the two guys, and Rahm played a little better this past week, that I have circled to see breakthrough. And I've said, I think I said this last week, so I'll just say it every week. I think John Rahm is making the 2018 Ryder Cup team for Europe.
I'm throwing in a fun question for you. Okay, you ready for this?
Can I have a rebuttal on that one?
Okay, go ahead.
And I think John Rahm is going to win twice this season.
While Thomas Peters gets to the top 10. And
I also think you have to throw Ollie Schneider-Jans into that mix. Cody Gribble is the only rookie to finish in the top 10 in Napa, so that's something to keep an eye on, too. Jordan Spieth's roommate, I believe.
Cody Gribble, who got his card when you got rained out, Chantel, at the Hurricane Web.com Tour Championship.
Yes, he was an excited guy.
All right, now I want to hear your question for Les.
Okay, I know that they just are now putting Bryson DeChambeau's clubs on sale, his very mechanically designed, all the same size clubs. Would you play with them? Would you give them a try?
No.
Why not?
You have to have
put everything in your bag for at least 3 holes. Why would you not put DeChambeau's irons in?
Because you have to have a very particular swing. I literally can't even contort my arms.
Have you tried it?
I have tried it. Everyone's tried it. If you watch Bryson DeChambeau, I covered his USAM victory, where it was one of the most impressive ball striking exhibitions I've ever seen. It was unbelievable what he was able to do. So I went back to the hotel room. I started trying to get my arms up there. You can't swing. It's not possible. So no, I wouldn't try.
Flatten the plane.
You can't do it.
Go with like swing type 24A.
I must have little stubby arms or something, but they do not get in the proper position. Bryson DeChambeau is an athletic freak with a terrific golf swing.
Yeah, as well. Would you try it?
Sure, why not? They'll still slice out 10 yards, and then I'll be frustrated again. But I would try it. I have not, if I covered that USA, maybe I would have gone back to the hotel room and tried that, or maybe I would have tried to write cursive backwards with left-handed or whatever. But
Float some Epsom balls.
Float some balls and salt, yeah. So I would certainly give it a shot. You know, beggars can't be choosers. Might as well give it a try.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to sign off here. This is what's coming up in golf this week, the PGA Tour. We'll take a little trip to Asia.
It's the Ryan Moore Invitational,
yes.
Chantel.
Okay. Well, we all are looking forward to that. I can tell you guys with all your enthusiasm this show. Just can't even handle it. I want to give a shout out because I was at the Symetra Tour Championship, and that was a really fun playoff between Allie McDonald and Nicole Brock Larson. And Allie earned her tour card. Nicole didn't earn her tour card, but she is now able to skip second stage of qualifying school. So it was fun. I had a great time, and those ladies kick some serious butt. So congratulations to the 10 ladies who now have their LPGA tour card for next season. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Monday on Monday Scramble.